right, what's happening? Welcome back to the greatest podcast on the face of the earth. You have shown up and tuned back into the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. What's happening? How's everybody doing? Hopefully you guys had a great week. I had a good week. I was having some technical difficulties getting in here this evening. Looked like my MacBook Pro was having trouble charging up, but it's an old MacBook, so I had to find me a cord and jiggle that damn cord and make all kind of noise and stuff to get this thing to working. Before I get deeper into the show, can you guys hear me okay? You know, you guys are my producer too, since I'm doing this all alone. How do I sound? Do I sound good? Before we get too deep in, I just need to know if everything is sounding okay. Am I sounding crisp? It's live right now, guys. I need y'all to respond. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? I sound good? Amit, shout out to Amit Chopra. He came in and thank you, brother. Thank you. What is this? Oh, my gosh. Now I got two on stage right now. Yep, all three of us hear you. You real funny, B. Whoever the hell you are. That's good. That's over there on YouTube. Yes, there are actually on YouTube right now, it's 7 people over there watching, but we got some people on Facebook too. But it's all good, baby. You got to have 1 to 3 people before you get 1,000,000 or 1,000 watching, B. This is how this works, baby. I'm glad you're here to watch this process. You know what I mean? So when it's all the way to the moon, nobody will ever believe that it was only 3 people watching. The Cam Newton thing was not years ago. Cam Newton was just jumped recently. But I don't want to talk about that just yet. Right now, we're going to talk about these new Diddy allegations. And also, before I even get into the Diddy allegations, what did I do? I ain't talked to y'all in a minute, man. I told y'all I went to New York. I did the Comedy Cellar. And this weekend, I went and pulled up on Michael Blackson and Kojo were performing at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. I did some time on that show. It was a great, great show. Got to work out, felt loose. You know what I mean? I'm in rhythm and getting ready for my show this weekend at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia. So the shows I got coming up, I got Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia this weekend, March 1st to the 3rd. Please go get those tickets. Also, I will be in Denver, Colorado at the Denver Improv March 8th to the 9th. And March 29th, I'm going to be at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama. So I need y'all to pull up on your boy, man. Y'all be asking me where I'm going to be and all this stuff. I'm telling you where I'm at. So all of y'all pull up. So this weekend was cool. Got the vibe with Michael Blackson. We chopped it up. He had a hot set. He was getting down. Michael Blackson is a true entertainer, man. Very, very funny, brother. And now we can get deeper into this show. I see some people in here talking. And I don't know. You want to know when I'm coming? I have no idea when I'm coming to North Carolina, Cam. Thanks for asking. Hopefully soon, man. I just go wherever I'm called. Wherever they have the check is typically where I pull up. Let me make sure this crisp is on. Good, it's on. Okay, cool. Cool, man. All right. So here we are, guys. Today's news, Diddy, a good brother love. Diddy has more allegations. And this time, these allegations are coming from a man. I hate to see the brother going through it. But, I mean, if he bought it on himself, you know, it's like, so be it. Very, very unfortunate. I mean, ever since he paid Cassie off, these people are lining up. People are just lining up. They're getting in line. It's almost like a class action lawsuit is going on against Diddy. And the man is clearly fighting for his life. That's what I'm seeing. Because his reputation is now ruined. And it's going to be very, very difficult for him to get those brand deals, liquor deals. And he is a billionaire. He can survive. He has enough money to last him. You know, I guess he's going to have to switch his lifestyle up. He had to cut off Young Miami. Can't be spending $400,000-$500,000 on a piece of young pussy. You have to change. But it's rather sad. I want to pull this up with these new allegations that he has. It's a man is accusing him. And let me pull this up. So he's been accused with sexual harassment by actual producer who, let me see here. Let's pull this up. There we go. And I like to be in y'all face. So Sean Diddy Combs accused sexual harassment assault by a producer on his latest album. Lil Rod Jones says his life has been detrimentally impacted since he worked with Combs. Sean Diddy Combs was sued Monday in federal court by a producer on his most recent album, who accused the music mogul of sexually harassing, drugging, and threatening him over more than a year. The producer, Lil Rod Jones, says in a lawsuit that he lived and traveled with Combs from September 2022 to November 2023. During which time he recorded hours of video and audio of Combs, his staff, and others engaging in serious illegal activity. Among the allegations is that Combs forced Jones to procure sex workers and pressured him to engage in unwelcome sex acts with them and others, and that Combs gave laced alcoholic beverage to people who attended parties at his home. This is insane. Now, this is all in the papers. This is what has happened. Lawsuit includes what it says of screenshots from gatherings hosted Combs' homes that included underage girls and sex workers, some of whom he said were provided drinks that had been laced with drugs at Combs' direction. The suit filed in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York also names Combs' adult son, Justin, his chief of staff, Christina Corm, Universal Music Group CEO Sir Lucian Grange, and former Motown Records CEO Ethiopia Habtemariam as defendants. Jones says in lawsuits that Grange, Habtemariam, Motown Records, Love Records, Universal Music Group effectively worked together with Combs in a RICO enterprise that failed to adequately monitor, warn, or supervise the actions of Combs, his son, and his chief of staff. A RICO enterprise is any individuals or groups that act together to violate the racketeer. They trying to get this man on a RICO right now. This shit is crazy. Jones is seeking $30 million. Everybody's showing up to collect on him, man. Representatives for Justin Combs, Corm, Grange, Motown Records, Lover did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Habtemariam could not immediately be reached for comment. An attorney for Combs said Jones' reckless name dropping about events that are pure fiction and simply deny having is nothing but a transparent attempt to garner headlines. We have overwhelming, indisputable proof that his claims are complete lies. Our attempts to share this proof, Mr. Jones' attorney, Tyrone Blackburn, have been ignored as Mr. Blackburn refused to return our calls. The attorney, Sean Holly, said in a statement, "We'll address these outlandish allegations in court and take all appropriate actions against those who make them." Oh, this is so sad, man. We're gonna go with this thing innocent until proven guilty. But as more and more of these allegations come up in regards to our good brother Love, it just seems that he's fighting in quicksand. And as a man in this society, you are guilty until you can prove innocence. And once you prove innocence, the innocence is proven with a whisper. Okay, so I'm going to go innocent until proven guilty, but it's very, very difficult because now the court of public opinion in regards to P. Diddy is in full swing. And I don't think him paying, he paid Cassie out super quick. And after paying that, it just tarnished his reputation and his image. And now everybody is lining up. I'm surprised that the good brother Bentley Farnsworth hasn't come out. And I know Bentley, really cool dude. And if he came out and said something, I would definitely be like, oh man, that's interesting. But the good brother Bentley isn't doing anything. So I don't really know where this goes. If I'm P. Diddy right now, man, I'm taking my ass to Indonesia, man. I'm going to Indonesia. I'm going to give me a mansion by Russell. And I'm just going to stay out there for 10 years because I don't know when this will die out for him. You know, like when it gets quiet in the news cycles, it comes back up. You know, it's almost to the point now with entertainment and media. It's like the attention comes like a wave, like a big wave. So when the attention first came with him and Cassie, that was like a big, big wave that just swept over him. And then as the wave began to die down, you know, Cat Williams popped up with the interview. The wave died down and then it got quiet. And then another wave just hit him again, right? And it's crazy. It's just crazy. So I don't know. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I'm not saying that karma has a very funny way of serving people justice. I'm not saying the man is guilty. I'm going to go with innocent until proven guilty. But I wouldn't wish this on anyone. It's very, very rough. And snowballing really, really quick, man. Really quick. Very unfortunate for our good brother, man. Also, too, in the news, brother Cam Newton was recently coaching some type of football game for the youth. It was a 7-on-7 football game. And Cam was out there in that big silly hat with the feathers in it, looking like Chicken George from Roots. And I guess he was trying to give the youth some type of guidance. As you know, Cam Newton, former professional football player, he was the man, played for the Tennessee Titans. And no, the Panthers, I'm sorry, played for the Panthers. Carolina Panthers, I believe. Great quarterback. I guess he went out there to help the kids, but these children attacked him. And I just don't know. One of the kids, because I can't play the video on here because they'll flag me for showing violence, even though a million other people get to play it, but that's okay. But one of the kids ended up, one of these young adults ended up sneaking, they snuck Cam in the side of the face. Did somebody just ran up on him, stole on him. Cam ate that. And I could not imagine the terror on that young man's face when he swung and hit that man in the jaw with all his might. And Cam just looked at him and probably either smiled or I said, what you want to do next? Like, that's the worst, because typically when you sneak somebody, haul off on them, you typically get control of the fight. But no. They hit that jaw. That boy's fist must have bounced off of that stone mountain chin that Cam Newton got like it wasn't nothing. And he ate it. And you're looking at Cam Newton, about 6'4", 300 pounds. This is a big, solid, massive man. And he was able to whoop all seven of these young boys. I don't know what and then Cam is getting of age where he got, you know, the older we get as black men, you know, we get some extra old man strength. And that old man strength comes from, hey, you're not going to play with me. Okay, so Cam got that little old man strength on him, plus his height, him being a former athlete. And I just think they underestimated him. They seeing him in them leggings out there skating at the roller rink and he wearing them big silly hats. But they don't know that boy got hands and he will throw down. But they learned very quickly as they could not, seven of them, it wasn't nothing they could do. It looked like the Incredible Hulk out there and he was just running through these people. I mean, he had everybody. I mean, it was nothing they could do. Nothing. And I'm just glad there was no gunplay or nothing, no dirty fighting. And I'm glad Cam got out of that. And also, too, I know people were talking about his hat not coming off his head. I've seen several videos of that. And that is phenomenal. And Cam, it call me, brother, because you need to get a hat deal with that hat company. I don't know how that hat managed to just not move. That feather, I don't even think the feather jiggled as he was like just whooping all these hyenas off of him. The man stood solid. He stood down and probably beat everybody up and left on a skateboard. That's what I'm thinking. Because it looked like he was there to do a magic trick or something, like a play a card game. Cam dressed like a professional crapshooter, but not, there was nothing that anyone could do. And shout out to him. But it's really sad that he went to the community to give back to the youth, and this is what he was greeted with. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's really, really sad. And it speaks to us in the community. Now, I don't know exactly what took place, and I'm going to Google that. Let's Google what actually happened. Why did Cam Newton get into a fight? Let's ask Google. I'm trying to see. Let's see what Google has to say. MVP Cam Newton gets in a 7-on-7 fight at a football game. I want to know why. Can somebody tell me why? Does anybody in the comments know why Cam was out there fighting? And what happened? What triggered this? What would make one of these young people want to haul off and hit Cam? He was handling them like toddlers. Yeah, he was definitely handling them like toddlers. But I want to know what started the fight. Now, somebody just commented, shout out to Travis Allen. He said Cam supposedly told a kid that he was his daddy, and that's what kicked it off. But for all seven of them to jump in, what caused the Cam Newton fight? I wish he would talk about this because that would be interesting. Oh. One anonymous parent who was present for the altercation on Sunday confirmed to Fox News Digital that Newton had been taunting those on the field. Coaches involved in camp. Okay. All right. Ain't want my at my damn email address to. I just want to see what happened. And I mean, these kids are so so weak now. I'm not signing into that. We gonna find out something. All right. Let's see. Now we found some here. So is this what sparked brawl involving Cam? Man involved in fight at 7v7 football tournament dissed the former NFL MVP before he was viciously ambushed. New footage may shed light on what sparked the brawl, which saw former NFL MVP Cam Newton violently attacked. He was ambushed. Those who approached Newton were involved with Top Shelf Performance, a training facility in Atlanta that had youth teams playing an event. His claim that a couple of Top Shelf coaches seen scrapping with Newton had previously worked alongside the quarterback. A man was filmed trash-talking Cam around the time of the attack. And as you can see right here, this is when a lot of them do. They had more than they could handle because he is just too big. And there's nothing they could do. That's a big, solid. That's a solid man, brother. On Monday, a video of one man wearing a top shelf appears to be involved in the fight. I'm going to say it. They can't add the film now. You non-throwing ass Atlanta hero quarterback cannot beat me. Cam in a heated game. I guess they were just talking trash and this boiled over, but just no respect for the fact that this man is a NFL MVP player who possibly was just trying to come to give back to the community. But see, this is typical behavior. This is what happens. You can't point the finger at the white man for this shit. It's like, and then too, like a lot of kids nowadays, they can't take any type of criticism or tough talk. Like, all right, he out there talking trash, but I'm sure he might have been out there talking trash to even make them better or to get their hands on right. So all right, this is what Travis said. LeVar, Cam and the opposing team coach had a prior history. Cam team was losing and some trash talk. Consequences, the rest went left. Cam told one kid he was supposedly his daddy. Okay. All right, well. He gonna lose all his money like Adrian Peterson did. I'm just going to tell Cam, you got to be careful, bro. You can't, man. Yeah, because they're going to try to sue. They're going to try to get a bag off of you. When you a multimillionaire, you got to go with security, man. You can't be out there scrapping. You can't even hit nobody back or you going to get sued, dog. I ain't going to lie. I don't know what Cam's sitting on, but I'll still be laid out on that grass. They'd have to come cut me out of there. I'd be like, man, my back and neck. Everything is messed up, Cam. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to pay for this. But who knows, man? Who knows? I guess they just got the best of each other. I really don't know. I really don't know. Bronny James in his NBA dreams. I want to say this first and foremost. I love LeBron James' family. I think the James family is a representation of black excellence. Him being a father, no outside children. I love everything that they do. I even love the fact that to a large degree that LeBron is using nepotism to get his son into the NBA. Hey, it's what it is, okay? Other groups and people have benefited from nepotism for thousands and thousands of years. Now, am I saying that I think Bronny's ready for the NBA? Absolutely not. I've watched some performances. I think he could get to the NBA, but I think he got to work harder, stay in there, stay in college, man, get all the way right. But it looks like Pop's like, nah, you coming into the league so they can play together. And if so, kudos to them. But I do believe that It could be looking like a pipe dream, and Bronny's gonna have it rough because he's gonna have a lot of targets on his back, like a lot. If I'm Bronny, though, at the end of the day, you already super rich. I mean, I just go work for the company, become an agent or something like that, and just chill out. Fuck it, I'm not like you already rich. Y'all got a beautiful family. Good mom, good dad. Bronny, just put your mind, I'm sure you're super smart. You went to some of the best private schools in the world. Why don't you and dad put your brains together and just own a team, right? You don't even need to be in, just flat out own a team. Y'all build that team out in Vegas and you take an ownership position and let Bronny James be the new genie bus or something like that and just let it happen, man. You know what I'm saying? But I don't, from his performance, and it's hard for Bronny James because Bronny James, His dad is a billionaire, bro. Like, this boy been growing up in mansions his whole life, and he has his father in the home, and he's a good basketball player. But I think you need another level of hungry or something, of starvation, to get to the league. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have it, but it's very difficult for him to probably get that hunger. And these kids, man, is trying to go to the league because mom and them can't eat. They can't pay the rent. You know what I mean? The young man can't sleep, bro. He going so hard. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, I don't know, Bronny. I don't know. And right, that's a good, Cam Black, that's a great analogy. It would ruin him if he got into the league, and he is kind of small. But, I mean, the NBA in itself, the product of the NBA is really falling off. It's falling off big time. And, I mean, you know, they scared, too. I mean, they probably going to let him in because they need LeBron. Who's the face of the NBA when LeBron leaves? Like, when LeBron leaves, what do we have? What do we have? We had a foreign players, but I think with basketball, what made basketball so great is that you see guys who look like you, who talk like you, who got this certain swag, and they're these gifted athletes, and they killing, and they got the charm, and they're American, like they're from where we're from. And I think it's, look, this is no knock to any of my foreign people, my fans. I love all of y'all, but it's very difficult to want to buy sneaker from basketball player who talk like this. I put ball in hoop. I put the ball in hoop. You get sneaker. Sneaker help you fly. Like, it's very difficult, I would think, to buy sneakers from that guy. You know, they eat the Wheaties. I ate my Wheaties with hummus. It's hard, right? It's like, this is foreign. Do I have an echo in here? Does this sound okay, guys? Let me know if it sounds okay, because I'm trying to get this sound right. How'd that sound? Am I good? Any echo? Make sure. You want to play ball like man? You want to be a real man, play ball? You get a shoe? You wear a shoe? You work hard, as I work hard to come from country to play game. Let me see. Now we back on this Cam Newton thing. Those Cowboys knew Cam. Oh, man. I don't know why people, why do people, and we going back to Cam Newton. I know we're talking about Bronny James in the NBA, but why do people not like Cam Newton? What did Cam Newton do so wrong? They named a highway not too far from my house, Cam Newton Highway. What did he do so wrong? You say, how, if anything, he can sue you. Man, let me tell you something, man. Them slick lawyers, bro, they will make it look like he bit somebody out there. Trust me. If there's some money to get, they will try to get it, brother. Hey, it's what it is. I think I'm going to... I don't know which one I... Should I add that? All right, cool. I sound great. Well, yeah, they could do anything, man. They could sue him, and it's no telling. After I did my accent, I think I lost a lot of people because my numbers had dipped down very, very low. Shout out to the one person watching on Twitter. Shout out to the one person also watching on Twitch, and to everybody on Facebook and YouTube. What it do, baby? I mean, it's literally going up and down. But Bronny James, back to Bronny James, young brother, work hard, bust your ass, don't worry about the haters. And, you know, the NBA is cool, brother, but you in a position to be an entrepreneur. You in a great position to – not just own like a regular store, but with the connects and everything, you could probably even get into manufacturing and be a billionaire too. So shout out to Bronny, and I wish the young man the best, and they have a very, very beautiful family. So I watched the Netflix movie Mea Culpa, written by Tyler Perry. Boy, I had very, very high hopes for this movie. When I saw the trailers, I was like, yo, this is beautifully shot. Kelly Rowland looked amazing. Kelly Rowland is beautiful, beautiful, man. Beautiful. She looked amazing in it. Everybody looked amazing from the trailer. Now, I had high hopes. I was rooting because I was like, man, this is going to be a good one. Because I think one of my favorite Tyler Perry movie, my favorite Tyler Perry movie, I believe, it's a family, it's Diary of a Mad Black Woman and A Family That Prays. Love those movies, man. Diary of a Mad Black Woman, A Family That Prays, and the one when he was super rich and he fell in love with the woman with the kid. You know what I mean? It was kind of a Cinderella story. Those were my top three movies of him. This one, it had potential. I think it had potential. The storyline and the plot, it just kind of threw me off. Like, you know what I mean? I think for the best movies and the best stories, I believe Eric Monte said this. If you don't know Eric Monte wrote Good Times, The Jeffersons, and Sanford and Son. It was not Norman Lear. But Eric Monte said it the best. He said, a great story is a lie with no holes in it. So when I'm watching the Mea Culpa movie, there was just a lot of open-ended questions that I had. Like, first of all, the guy who's the district attorney, and this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, so you might want to just stop watching me now. So the guy that was the district attorney running for mayor, I did not understand for the life of me why he would want to frame a man for murder to get into office, and why he was working in cahoots with the friend. It had potential. It could have been great. You know what I mean? But it just didn't do it for me. Also, another movie I liked Tyler Perry was Temptation. That was a good one, man. I liked that one. I mean, it was some unrealistic things. And they're like, in Temptation, they had Lance Gross playing a pharmacist. And I mean, he was broke. Driving a raggedy truck, broke. And I mean, Tyler took it to an extreme in that movie because he ended up giving the girl AIDS. And then dude got with his pharmacy technician or some shit. It was just like, oh, God. But it was great. I liked that one, but couldn't really get into Mea Culpa. I mean, they had good sex scenes in there, but yeah. Yeah, man. So, yeah, Good Deeds was a good movie, Kathy. Thank you for letting me know that. But, yeah. Now, I love the one where the husband was the pharmacist. That's the one I'm talking about. That was a good one. But Tyler put his spin on some stuff, right? Like, I could tell, like, Mea Culpa, if he had writers in that room, I don't really think like he was listening to their opinions, and it seemed like he just took that shit over and penned it in about a week, and just he executes at a high rate. And I'm not mad at him. You got to do what you got to do. But there were just so many holes, and I've been in writers' rooms where we would have corrected those holes, right? Because I believe like when you come together on a project, you just have to leave an open, safe space for other creators to speak, and then y'all just come to a medium. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm gonna give this movie about a 5, man. I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 10. It just lost me, and it just didn't do anything for me. So that's what it is, guys. And I think this is it. I'm gonna leave y'all right here. Oh gosh, these allergies are killing me, man. What's up with the allergies, bro? Like, I have been leaking. My nose has been leaking for the past 3 weeks, and it won't. This faucet that's running in my nose will not stop. I use steroids. I use antihistamines. I use everything known to man. And don't tell I'm a pharmacist. I know the proper things to use, but it's killing me. I was in New York on stage, and I was leaking. I couldn't, you know what I mean? I couldn't even breathe. It's just, I'm leaking all day. Oh gosh. And then you do the sniffle, and then some get back in your throat. You wait. Oh gosh, it's rough right now, man. It's rough. Travis say, clean your duct system. I don't think it got nothing to do with my duct. I think my duct system is fine, bro. But every year I get these allergies, man. Every year. Once a year, my nose will run like a faucet. Straight up. And I really don't understand that. So, and I'm trying to. Ms. Williams say they're trying to unalive us. I don't know. Who is they, Ms. Williams? Who is they? And also, too, I forgot to talk about another thing, too. Kanye Adidas. So Kanye is back in the news. He's having another spat with Adidas. I thought they were getting back on good footing, but here's what our brother had to say.
Let me explain really clear to you guys what's happening with Adidas. It's not only are they putting out fake colorways that are non-approved, they're suing me for $250 million, and they're also not paying me for these shoes that they're putting out that have my name on it. And they're using contract clauses and 50 years of business experience to rape an artist. One of y'all favorite artists right in front of y'all in broad daylight.
Adidas is in a pickle. I know they are trying to re-release those sneakers, but Kanye still has influence. And Adidas, that's not right. It's not right what y'all are doing. I'm not excusing Kanye's behavior or him having any animosity or being hateful against other groups. But if you're going to cut ties with a man, cut the ties. Cut them. Don't sell the shoe. Set them on fire and move on. But what's happened to Adidas, understandably, this man's influence and his reach is far more powerful than they ever would have imagined. And even though he says some very interesting things in regards to other groups and communities, a lot of people in those groups and those communities still rock with him, specifically their children who feel like they know him and they're not taking what he said as anything hurtful or demeaning towards them. These are the elderly people in the suits who want to cancel him. And if you're going to cancel him, but don't fuck around with it. You can't, like, cancel a guy and then still sell his merch. It's just let it go. But Adidas is in such, I guess one of the most honest things Kanye said in regards with Adidas was when he was on Drink Champs and said, listen, I am Adidas. It ain't no Adidas without Ye. And that's fact. I don't know what y'all gonna do. You know what I mean? I know they signed Jerry Lorenzo. Jerry Lorenzo can't say that brand. It's not going to happen. Before they had Kanye, they had Big Sean signed to Adidas. And I think Pharrell had did some sneakers with Adidas. And all them joints went wood, man. Matter of fact, I bought a pair of like these Adidas sneakers outside of the shell toe. Them sneakers were trash before Yeezy. Trash. And Kanye came in there with so many different brands, so many different options, and it took their stock to the moon. And it's unfortunate. Adidas can't survive without him. That's just fact. It's what it is, and they know that. That's why they said, well, we not gonna sell the Yeezys no more. Yeah, you are. You gonna sell them. And that's what they doing, but I don't think people are gonna buy them. People are gonna move on quick. And people would much rather go with Nike, but I don't think the people are gonna stand for them strong-arming them. You know, right is right and wrong is wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right, so. Oh yeah, Adidas had them shackle shoes. Shout out to Kathy. I remember those. This is the heat Adidas had back in the day, y'all. This is what they was coming with. Do y'all remember these? These were trash, bro. Like, let me see. I wanna pull these up. This is what Adidas had pre-Kanye. Just utter trash with shackles on. You selling these to black people with a shackle. Come on, man. Utter trash. They don't have anything. And Jerry Lorenzo, I like his stuff. I got my Fear God shirt on now, man, but he ain't no yay, bro. I'm sorry. And I know that Kanye is similar to Steve Jobs because Kanye, he gets a lot of people that are already designers and stuff like that, and he gets them together, and then he put his spin on it and take it to the next level. So that's what he do, but he make it right, bro. So I don't know. I just ordered the Yeezy Pod sock shoes. I'm waiting for those to come in so I could do a review. They were $20. And what can I say? But Kanye did meet with the CEO of Adidas. And it's just what it is. But this is some of the trash that they were coming out with. Like, what? Like, look at these. Who? Look at this. Look at this. Is this an Adidas? Oh, my God. That's a rooster shoe, look like. No, that's not an Adidas shoe. I don't know what the hell that is. That look like some little Wayne or whatever. But ain't nobody walking in the street. You gonna get your ass roasted in them joints, boy. You getting cooked. Go to high school with them on. Well, I don't know. I'm 46, so maybe the kids are like these. I don't know. But yeah, Adidas, y'all gonna have to get it together, man. Cause this ain't it. This is not it. So, well, guys, thank you. Let me see. I usually have allergies. I work in construction. I haven't had any allergies. Good. I hope I can get rid of my allergies. You said rape is a strong word. I mean, just imagine if somebody sabotaged with you, but then sever ties with you. You know, I believe in consequences and repercussions. You say something crazy, people had that right. But they sever ties, say they not doing no more business with you, and then still turn around and sell your product. Come on, man. That's not it, bro. Mo Tillis, you would love to produce my show for me. Where are you located, Mo? Where are you located? Let me know where you're located. And we can see what we can do. I would really need probably a remote producer, like not a, I don't need to, you in Jersey, can you produce remotely? Can you produce it remotely? Because that's how we have to do it, man. You have to be behind the boards. All right, bet. This is what you do, Mo. DM me. We're going to see what we can do. We can work on something. See what's up. Well, guys, I'm about to wrap this up, man. Listen, get those tickets. Arlington Draft House, Virginia. I'm on the way. I'll be way funnier in person than I am in these videos, doing all these videos, social media, because I do this just to show up so you guys can just see me. But, yeah, I'm going to be in Arlington, Virginia, man. Get those tickets. We got Arlington, Virginia, March 1st to 3rd. I got Denver, Colorado, March 8th to the 9th. I got the Stardome, March 29th, April 26th, San Antonio. And also, I'll be coming to Detroit in May. I'm going to be back at the Punchline in Detroit. So, y'all holler at me, man. Listen, this has been an amazing show. I will be back tomorrow. Hopefully, I won't have any technical difficulties. But we can chop it up, man, because that's what I like to do, baby. You know what I'm saying? And thank you guys for all the love, the support. But I want to see y'all at them shows, man. Call me. Call me, okay? And let's keep it moving, man. I'm out of here. This has been another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast.